Come on. So excited to have you with us this weekend. If you're new to Catalyst, my name is Jason. I'm the lead pastor. And one of the great honors that we get to do every single weekend is we get to welcome our online community, especially all of our Marines and military that join us, whether they've been deployed or PCS all around the nation, all around the world. Come on, church. Let's welcome them to church today. Good to have you guys. Amen. Well, last weekend, we kicked off our fall teaching series that we are calling Experiencing God, and it is inspired and driven really by the work, historic work, of Henry Blackaby and Claude King, who about 24, 25 years ago wrote the Bible study called Experiencing God. This was a study that really shaped my heart early on in my walk with the Lord and really helped to shape my faith and my view of God and life and how to live experiencing God in my daily life. And I just believe that God, we're just in a season where that's what God desires in our life as well, that we would understand what it means to be in the center of God's will. We would understand and discover what it looks like for us to live out the plan and the purpose that God has for our life, and that we would experience the presence of God each and every day. And so starting this weekend, last weekend, we did an intro week to the series. This weekend, we kick off looking at one of seven of the Experiencing God realities, and we'll look at one for the next 7 weeks. And then all of our life groups got kicked off this weekend as well, so we're excited about that. And so many of you will be here on the weekend. This is our challenge, be here on the weekend. Don't miss a single weekend during this time. Then get a part of a life group and get a community of people around you and just kind of dig deeper into the Word of God and kind of flesh out these principles in your life and in your own community. And then we're also providing through social media every single week a memory verse, just challenging you to really press the Word of God into your heart, let it transform your life. And we're just really excited about what God is teaching us in this season. We introed last week by saying this, that really the starting line for experiencing God, for knowing God, is a relationship with God. That it starts with a relationship with God, not a religion. That God is not looking for you to just simply adhere to a belief system or to follow some principles or rules to live by, but God is inviting you and I into a love relationship with Himself. And when we put our faith in Jesus, when we put our trust in Him and put Him in the center of our life and we start to live for Jesus rather than ourselves, that's really the starting point. That is how we step into God's will. We're in that moment when we step into that relationship with Jesus, we're stepping into the plan and the purpose that God has been orchestrating throughout human history. And it's very simple. This is what it is: to redeem broken and sinful people back into a right relationship with Himself. It's called the gospel. That the gospel is God's plan. It's His purpose in this world that many would not perish but come to repentance, that we would surrender our lives in faith to Jesus Christ, and that you would be a person who loves the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that you would allow the love of God to so transform your heart that it would transform those that you love. That it would point them to Jesus as well. So this week, if you got your teaching guide, go ahead and grab that. Let's introduce Blackaby's number one principle. Experiencing God, reality number one is this, that God is always at work around you. Would you say that out loud with me? God is always at work around you. All right, for the five people that did it, you did a really good job. Everybody else, you suck. All right, here we go. Come on. Experiencing God, reality number one. God is always at work around you. There you go. That's much better. I want you to think about that, though. God is always at work in and around my life. You never have to ask the question, God, are you there? God, are you up to something? God, are you doing something? God, are you working in my life? Listen, God never takes a day off. He has never had a 96 weekend for all of eternity. The Bible says He neither sleeps nor slumbers. The Bible teaches that God is working all things out in accordance with His good and perfect will. The challenge that you and I face is that typically we don't pay attention to what God is doing on a daily basis. We don't pay attention to what God is doing. We don't recognize God at work, either because we're not paying attention or we don't know what to look for, or we just don't have the spiritual eyesight to see what he is up to. Several years ago, I'm 46 now, probably around 42, something started to change, and I started to notice in me that as I was reading my Bible or reading my phone, whatever it was, I didn't have glasses at that time, I'd have to do this. And my wife would look at me and she's like, what's wrong? I'm like, I don't know, but my arms are getting shorter. I'm turning into a visual T-Rex, you know, I can't get my Bible far enough, I can't get my phone far enough, I would have to adjust, you know, the distance because everything was blurry. So I went to one of our local ophthalmologists, went to the eye clinic and eye doctor, and they had this really cool machine, you've all seen it, where they test your vision. And you read through all the different lines, and you start at the top with the E, and everybody has the E. Everybody can just read the E. Even if you can't see it, you know it's an E, right? So you're like, I got that one, you know? And then then everything below that just started to get a little blurrier and a little blurrier and a little blurrier. And so the smaller that the font got, the blurrier that it got also. And pretty soon, it was like JM, and the next line, like, I think it's a cheeseburger. A puppy dog, you know, I'm guessing at that point. But then they did something that was really cool. They flipped this lens in front of me, and automatically everything that was blurry became clear. And so they issued me these glasses, all right? They made me look smarter and older and more intelligent. But the thing about glasses is glasses gives you a new lens to see life through. The Bible teaches that all of humanity, apart from a relationship with God, that we are spiritually blind. We can't see God. We can't see what God is doing. We don't understand. The Bible says the things of the Lord are like, you know, spiritually discerned. We can't make sense. We don't know what God is up to. We don't know what God is like. We don't know who we are. We're spiritually blind. Everything is blurry. We're blurred to his presence, and if God doesn't reveal himself, if God doesn't give us the eyesight to see him and to see who we are meant to be, we'll not only miss him, but we'll miss the work that he's desiring to do in and through our lives. But the moment that you gave your life to Jesus, the moment that you surrendered your life in faith and in trust to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, God gives you the faith to believe. God takes the veil off of your eyes and you can see God. You can see God. You can see what God is doing. You can see yourself. You're like, I didn't see that before. I didn't understand that before. I didn't get that about me. I didn't get my sin was a big issue. I just thought it's kind of who I am. It's what I like. It's what I do. But now all of a sudden, it's like Isaiah. Whenever he saw God high and lifted up, the train of his robe filling the temple, the Bible says when he saw God clearly, he saw himself. And he says, whoa, it's me. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. He's like, I'm undone. Why? Because when you can see God, you can see yourself. When God gives you the sight to see him, everything changes. That's what God does at salvation, that God gives you a new lens to see your life through. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you the Word of God. He fills you with faith. You grow in biblical wisdom. You grow in your relationship with God. And God in that moment is revealing himself to you. God is revealing his plan to you. And when you and I can recognize that God is always at work, and you can see what God is doing in the world, then you and I get the continual opportunity to join him in that work and to partner with his plan in the world. Exodus chapter 3 is where we're going to be this weekend. Exodus chapter 3, I want you to see how this kind of plays out in the life of Moses today. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 1, let me read. The Bible says, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And there the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. And Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I'm going to go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. I want you to get this, that God is revealing himself to Moses. God is initiating the relationship. And that's a pretty cool way to initiate the relationship, a bush that's on fire but not being consumed. And so the Bible says in verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said to him, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not come any closer." God said, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." I love that moment. Moses, I just want you to stand right there. I want you to take off your sandals because this is a holy moment. This is a moment right now that's going to change everything in your life. I'm getting ready to give you eyes to see me and eyes to see what I'm doing in the world. It's going to change you. It's going to change the way that you see me. It's going to change the way that you see life. It's going to change the way that you see yourself. It's going to change the way that you see your future. Because when you see God clearly, it changes who you are. It changes who you are. And Moses has this holy moment. In verse 6, the Bible said, God reveals himself. He said, "I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And at this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. Remember that moment, maybe in your life, when the light came on? And you realize for the first time that the God of the universe knew your name. The God of the universe desired a relationship with you and that he has a purpose for your life. Let's continue reading. Verse 7, God is going to reveal the plan, what he is doing in the world, what he is at work to accomplish. Verse 7, the Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land." Notice, God is going, this is my plan. This is what I am going to do. I have come down to rescue them. I am going to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Because the cry of the Israelites have reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. Notice what God didn't say. God didn't say, "Hey, Moses, I've been watching you and kind of how you're running your father-in-law's business, and I'm really impressed with your sheep business plan. I'm really impressed with what you're doing. I see your 5-year plan. I see your 10-year plan. You know what? I'm pretty impressed. This is kind of the offer that I've got on the table. I would love to be a silent partner in your world incorporated. And I just want to kind of invest and help take you to the next level." Listen, that's not what God is doing. God is not trying to join Moses' plan for Moses. But God is revealing his plan. And you're going to see, he is going to invite Moses to join his plan in the world. If you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down. It simply says this: God always accomplishes his work through people. God always accomplishes his work through people. Listen, whenever God gets ready to do something in the world, he always chooses a person to do it through. When God's about to do something in the world, he always chooses a people to do it through. This is how God has been working since Adam and Eve in the very beginning of creation. God always chooses people to work through. And so if you and I will open our eyes to the biblical truth that God is always at work in and around our life, then we can commit ourselves to joining him in his work, and God will do bigger things in our life than we could ever even imagine. Ephesians 2:10 says that you've been prepared for this. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do." Listen, God has been preparing you for the work that he has for you. You're like, "I don't feel very prepared." That's why you walk by faith and not by sight. That's why you don't lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways you acknowledge him. That's why you trust in the Lord with all of your heart. That's why you lean into him. And so God has been preparing you for the work that he's calling you to do. So what is God's work? What is God preparing each and every one of us to do? What is God's plan? We said it earlier, it's simply the gospel. I want you to get something. God's plan and purpose, ultimate, eternal plan for your life is the exact same as his eternal plan for mine. God's will for your life and my life is the same. Now, I might have a different platform. I might have a different career path. I might have a different occupation. I'm going to have a different family. I'm going to live on a different street. I'm going to go to maybe different restaurants. I'm going to live my life in a different place. But wherever I am, God's ultimate plan is this, that the Father is working through Christ to reconcile broken and lost people back into a right relationship with himself. And God wants to use you wherever you are to accomplish that plan, to accomplish that purpose. The ultimate purpose of our life is to know him and to make him known in the world. It doesn't matter where you live or what you do. Ultimately, that is God's purpose for our lives as children of God. Would you write this down? Anytime God reveals his plans, he always invites us to join them. Anytime God reveals his plans, he always invites us to join them. God's revelation always becomes an invitation to join him. So anytime God is revealing himself and his work, he is inviting you to join him in that work. Listen, when God reveals a need or a burden in your world, it is an invitation to be used by God to meet that need there for his glory, whatever that is. Have you ever had one of those moments where God is just really burdening yourself for something that you know just burdens the heart of God? God is just doing something in your heart. God is doing something in your mind. God is just allowing you to see something out there. He's pulling back the curtain. He's revealing something to you. He's revealing about how his grace wants to make a difference there, how he wants to rescue there, how he wants to redeem there. Guess what God is doing? He's revealing his work, and he's inviting you into the process. Amen? Listen, God wants to use your life to make a difference in the lives of others. So this is what he reveals to Moses in verse 7. Again, he says, here's the problem. I've seen the misery of my people. I've heard their crying. They're in slavery. They're broken. I am broken over their suffering. He said, here's my plan. Verse 8, I've come down to rescue them and to take them into a good land. And then he looks at Moses and he said, and here's your part. Here's your part. Verse 10. Everybody take a look. He says, so now, go. Everybody say, go. Go. Say it again. Everybody say, go. Go. He says, so now, go. He says, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Remember, God is revealing himself at this moment through a burning bush. That's a pretty spectacular revelation, right? I mean, that's not one that you can just kind of go, I think that may have been God speaking to me. I wonder if that was God speaking to me. I mean, no, it's like the bush is on fire and God's like, hey, I'm God. I'm introducing myself to you. Here's my plan. Here's what I'm doing. I'm inviting you to be a part of it. You would think Moses would hear that and see that miraculous demonstration of God's power and says, okay, God, you want to use me? Yes. I am in. I'm all in. If you can do this, I can't wait to see what you're going to do in my life, immeasurably more than all I can ever ask or think or imagine. That's not how Moses responded. God invites Moses to join his plan, and Moses' response is like, no. No thanks, God. See, that's not my vision for my life. That's not really what I got planned. That's not my 10-year plan. That's not my second retirement plan. I don't know what it is, but that's not it. Look at how Moses responds. Verse 11, it starts with this. It says, but Moses. Let me just ask you, how many times has your butt got in God's way? The middle school boy in me just had to ask that question that way. Seriously, like how many times has your butt got into God's way? Some translations say, but Moses said to God. Other translations say it this way, but Moses protested to God. Moses protested. And for the next two chapters, the rest of chapter 3 and chapter 4, we see excuse after excuse after excuse why Moses is going, yeah, I don't want to do that. That's not for me. Let's just kind of look at those. The first one in verse 11, here's the first excuse that he gives God. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring or lead the Israelites out of Egypt? He's like, I'm nobody. I'm nobody. Do you realize I don't know, God, if you kind of have been paying attention to what's been going on in my life, but that's where I came from. Like, the Pharaoh is my stepbro. I was raised in that house, and I was a prince, you know, of Egypt as well. But whenever I changed over and really kind of got in touch with my roots as a Hebrew, I came from a prince to a slave. I no longer have the right to even go before the Pharaoh. And why would the children of Israel ever listen to me? I'm nobody. The first excuse. The second excuse, verse 13, it says, suppose I go to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What should I tell them? He's like, I don't even know your name. I'm not spiritually qualified. I haven't been to Bible college. I haven't been to seminary. I haven't even gone to a Bible study before. And you're wanting me to be the spiritual leader to a million. I can't do that. I'm not qualified. Look at the next one, chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, what if they don't believe me or listen to me? What if I fail? What if I just can't do it? The next one in verse 10, he says, oh Lord, here's the next excuse. I've never been eloquent, neither in my past nor since you've spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and of tongue. Otherwise, I can't speak. I don't like talking to people. I don't like to people, all right? I'm a shepherd. I live with sheep, all right? I like sheep more than I like people. And when I talk to people, my tongue gets all twisted and my brain doesn't work with my tongue, and it just kind of comes out and I stutter and I'm slow and I can't find my words and I'm ADD out to the hilt, you know, and I can't do it. I don't know how many times I've said, God, that's my excuse. I just can't do it. Just can't do it. Chapter 4 and verse 13, here's the last excuse. But Moses said, oh Lord, please send someone else to do it. What an honest statement. Please just send someone else. Otherwise, I just don't want to. I just don't want to. Listen, when God calls us to do something and to join him in his work, and we respond with excuses, Blackaby writes about this. He says, so often, you know, it kind of looks like we're doubting ourselves, but whenever you rip all of that facade away, what we're really doubting is God's ability, not our ability. We're really doubting our ability to trust God. If God has called you to do something, do you not think that God would enable you to do it? If God has prepared you for something, don't you think that his divine power and favor wouldn't show up? I think doubting God's ability to work in our life is a faith issue that masquerades as an insecurity. I mean, if we're gonna say, God, I believe that you can do all things, just not through me. I know that you use people in incredible ways to make a difference. I don't know if I'm ready to trust you to use me in that way. And Moses had excuse after excuse after excuse. Here's the question, what is your excuse? What is the excuse that you are giving to God for why you just want to sit back? Why you just want to sit down? Why you want to just go to church? Let me just go to church on the weekend. Isn't that good enough? Just go to church. I just want to find a seat, and I'm going to soak it up and just maybe sour a little bit over time, right? Sit, soak, and sour. That's the Baptist way for so many people. I find my seat. I go to church. Love Jesus, I know all the songs, I know how service is supposed to go, and I go home. But the problem is when you start looking at your life and asking the question, am I really experiencing God in my life? Am I experiencing his presence? Am I living out the plan and the purpose that God has for my life? So many Christians, if they were honest, would have to say, honestly not. Honestly not. What is the reason why you can't do what God has already asked you to do? Why you can't be used of God. why you can't serve, or why you can't give, or maybe why you can't worship or sing, or why you can't tithe, or why you can't commit the time or the energy to the things that God is doing in the world, or why you can't simply walk across the room and love God and love someone enough to invest in their life and to share your faith or to invite them to church. Listen, church, we need to stop making excuses. We need to stop making excuses in our walk with God, and we need to go all in. Scripture says this, that you and I, that we have everything that we need for life and godliness. That we have everything that we need to do anything that God has called us to do. The only thing that is lacking often in my life and in your life is simply this, faith and obedience. That's all. It's God's waiting on. God is not interested or impressed in your abilities or your intellect or what you bring to the table. He doesn't need your ability. He needs your availability. He needs your heart. He needs your trust. He needs your faith. He needs your step. He needs your obedience. Listen, wherever God is, God invites us to join him there. Listen, I can't stay where I am and follow God at the same time. I can't stay the way I am and follow God at the same time. And I think, church, we need to beware of any form of Christianity that we have set in our own mind that allows us to stay the central focus of our own lives. Because life's not about you. Life's not about me. And there is this shift that has to happen in our life as followers of Jesus where we step out of center and we put Christ at the very center of our heart and in our life. So I look at this Bible, 66 different books written over 1,500 years by over 40 authors. There are thousands of personal life testimonies of people who are very ordinary. People just like you, just like me, who whenever they gave their life, when they said yes to God, God did extraordinary things through ordinary people. Would you just write that down today as our last point? God does extraordinary things through ordinary people when they say what?
Yes.
When they say yes. Henry Varley, love this quote. He says, "The world is yet to see what God can do with and for and through and in a man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him." Love that. All of the people in the Bible are just ordinary people. They all had issues. Some of their lives were pretty jacked up before Jesus. All right? They're just like us. But when they said yes to God, God did extraordinary things in and through their life. Listen, church, let me just encourage you in this. There is nothing that God cannot do through one ordinary person fully committed to him. There's nothing that God can't do through someone who is fully committed to Jesus. I was thinking that I didn't share this last night. I shared it at the 8:20 service, but there's a guy by the name of Joe Rozier, and some of you might know Joe. Joe has served the church in many, many capacities. He was on my pastoral advisory council. I love Joe, incredible man of God. And Joe works directly for the two-star general here on Lejeune, and he's kind of over all contracts and stuff like that. Several years ago, Joe lost his wife to a brain aneurysm, and God just really ministered to his heart and to his life during that time, and really just redeemed the brokenness in himself, and he just started kind of making himself available. As he was growing through his own grief and leaning into the Lord, God was just continuing to counsel him and grow him and challenge him, and he started just to reach out to other people that were going through grief as well. So if you've ever been a part of our Grief Share program, you know Joe really, really well. And Joe's an ordinary dude who just simply started to make himself available to love people during their time of grief and the disasters, the heartbreak that happens in their life. And Grief Share Ministry has ministered to so many people here locally in our community. And just a little over a year ago when Hurricane Florence came in, he just started to kind of volunteer a little bit for Samaritan's Purse, the Billy Graham Association, and they just continued to go, wow, we really see this gift in you and how God has done this in you. Would you be available here? And he would just step. When they said, would you be available? He would just step, and he would take another step, and he would take another step. And Billy Graham Association has hired him as one of their chaplains now. And right now, today, he's in the Bahamas ministering to people that are still just trying to recover from hurricane. Lives have been destroyed. Yesterday morning, he sent me a picture of himself preaching at a local high school, getting to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to so many, you know, high schoolers, pointing them to the hope that they can have in Jesus Christ. I think about that and I go, wow, what an impact that he is making. But you know what? He's an ordinary dude that has simply taken the next step and the next step and the next step as God has opened the door and God has done extraordinary things in and through his life. You know, we could spend time. We don't have time, but I could just point out, as I know so many of you and so many of your stories, and God's doing that same thing in your life. You're just in different seasons. You're in different chapters of your story. But God has used so many of you simply where you are as you have identified what God is doing in the world and as you have yielded and surrendered your life to be used of God exactly there. There is nothing that God cannot do through one ordinary person fully committed to him. So let me just say this. If you feel inadequate, if you feel spiritually disqualified because of your past, if you feel weak or limited or ordinary, if you have failed, if you are struggling, if you don't feel gifted or able or prepared, listen closely. You are a perfect candidate to be used by God. You're a perfect candidate to be used by God. How many of you have issues? Just raise your hand up. Let me see that hand. Don't point to the person next to you. Just say, like, that's my issue. Just say, I got issues. Listen, if you've got issues, you are ready. You're ready. You're perfectly qualified. If you're jacked up, welcome to the family of God. The only perfect one that we serve is Jesus. And we are in constant process of stepping in and growing in that relationship with Jesus Christ. And God will use you wherever you are if you'll say yes to him and you will join him in his work. Moses, we end with this verse, Exodus chapter 4 and verse 20. Moses moves from his butt to a so. And he says, so Moses took his wife and sons, and he put them on a donkey, and he started back to Egypt. And he took the staff of God in his hand. I love that. He's going back to Egypt to do something that he's not qualified to do. But he's not going back in his own strength. He's going back in God's strength. He's not going back in his own ability. He's going back in God's ability. He's going back in faith. He's going back being available to be a vessel so that God could simply do in him and through him however he might wish. Would you bow your head with me today? Father, this is my prayer today. This is our prayer today. God, we realize that you are at work. You're at work in our life. You're at work around our lives. Even when we can't recognize you, even when we don't necessarily know what the plan is or what you're trying to do, but God, we know that you are faithful. We know that you are good. God, we know that you don't lead us down dead roads. You don't lead us off cliffs. God, you will even make the mountains flat for us. You will be with us on the high moments and in the low moments. And God, we just trust you. Trust you to lead us, Father. All we ask today, Lord, is that you give us eyes to see you and give us the courage and the boldness to say yes, yes. That, Lord, we would pray the prayer of the prophet. Here I am, just send me, Lord. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know how it's going to work out, but God, use me wherever I am for your glory. And every step of the way, teach me how to love you, with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. Teach me how to lean in on you. Teach me how to be active in the world that you have given to me. Be faithful there. And God, I trust that the benefits and the blessings, Lord, will come in your time and in your way. God, use us to make a difference in this world. And God, we recognize that your word says that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God, that does not say anything about us. That says everything about Christ. That we are not called to operate in our own strength or in our own wisdom, but Lord, we are to trust in you, and we are to obey, and we are to be faithful. So Father, meet us where we are. Holy Spirit, land this truth in our hearts wherever we might be. God, give us eyes to see you at work there, and give us the faith and faithfulness to join you there. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.